Shmuel Shapira, he never, even when he had to collect money for his children's wedding, he never could do too much for it. So this is a story that happened with Ben Zion Grossman. He was the father of Rav Grossman from Galeni. We escorted Shmuel Shapira to the Shinsky Rebbe, the father, the grandfather of this Rebbe. I think it is. He went to him. Yeah. So they went to Shmuel Navi. First place they went, it was Samuel Moshe Dushinsky. It's the father of the Rebbe today. He wasn't the Rebbe yet. And he went to him. And the Shmuel was the entrance hiding behind the back of Ben Zion. When Rav Yosef Tzvi saw this, he said, "Oh, Rav Shmuel, welcome, come down, sit here." After he says hello, he makes him sit down and everything, and he waits for Rav Shmuel to say something. Can you turn the fan towards me? Towards me? Thank you so much. Tada Rabba. Okay. Very good. Perfect. So, good. You guys are not cold?
Yeah.
So good? It's fine that it's moving. So, it's a Shmuel silence. He's asking, well, why did you come to my place? He doesn't say anything. And the silence is getting deeper and deeper. And what's going to be? Well, he's collecting money for his son's wedding. Shmuel Sanin, he already did what he had to do. He came if Hashem wanted to give him money. So then the Dushinsky Rebbe, Rav, he looks at the Ben Zion, the guy who's asking him, Shmuel says, "What does he want?" So once he was hinted the answers, they said, "Oh, there's a wedding, and if Shmuel doesn't even have the minimum just for the wedding itself." Right away, the Dushinsky Rav took out a nice amount of money and gave it to him. Give to Rav Shmuel. Okay, after this, went on, go and find Rav Shmuel, got his money, and he did his ishtadlus. Now he started talking with the Shinsky Rav, Torah, Avoda, all kinds of chassidus, and then they went goodbye. But he couldn't bring himself to ask. Not because of gaiva, not because he humiliating himself. No, not at all. He didn't care for that. He couldn't ask because it's too much. What do you mean? I already came. I also have to ask? Hashem will give me whatever he wants me to get. There was never any time of Shmuel's life that he owned money. Like he was like a rich man. He had money. There was two parts of his life. The first part of the first half of his life, he needed money from people. He needed to get money for tzedakah. And the second part, when everyone already poured on him money, he used to give out all his money. He never had money of his own. Either they gave him a little bit, whatever he needed, or even if they gave him a lot, he gave it all out. That's how he did. There were times that Shmuel was both a giver and a collector at the same time. He used to receive all the money and give them all out before he reached the house. He reached the house and he found out there was nothing. Oh, Rav Aaron Shapiro's wedding. Picture.
So people gave him money, and they couldn't even get a tax write-off for it. Really?
In those days, they didn't give that up.
Tax write-offs.
Today they give up. They used to not give up.
They didn't do that with him. Yeah. They just gave him money.
They gave him, and then when he had money, if someone asked him for anything, he got a big bill without asking anything. Yes, of course, they give it to him. It's his own money. He doesn't have to give it. Give everything. One thing, he never even checked how big is the bill. The bill that he had, he gave. One of the biggest places where you put a lot of money in is when people wanted to go to Uman. They're talking about the time of the communists. It wasn't $200 tickets like it is today, or $500 or $600 like it is to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. It could be close to $5,000. Because he had to have a forged passport. and the flights and the staying, and it was very expensive. And he gave them money. Shmuel was also an address for anyone who wanted to go to Uman. Martin had to go to America first, and all the stories. He was an address to go and get money to go to Uman. So give them money, collect money, give them money. Shmuel was Gaon. Now we're talking about his midos, characteristics. His midos, yeah? So it was Hanukkah. It was Hanukkah afternoon in the orphan home we call it?
Orphanage,
yeah, in Sanhedria. They tried to make it happy, people without parents, kids without parents. And,
I think you go there.
What?
He would go there?
Today?
No, he would go there.
So listen to the story. One of the older orphans there, usually the older ones took care of the younger ones. They became madrichim, so they got married and they took care of the kids. So one of them, Yaakov Yitzchak Elbelto, he felt sadness. So he really wanted to go to the Breslev Shtibel in Katamon. Oh, Avram is now in Rishmonim. He liked to go in there. So he told the mother of the house, I don't want the dinner, I'm going to the Brest Shtibel. And she let him. She knew that he's sad now and it's going to help him. She hoped that he gets food over there. So he went there, he got to the Mincha, and he spoke, there was a shiur L'Kutei Maharan, a long shiur, and Yaakov Yitzchak didn't eat all day. This orphan, he wasn't getting satisfied from the L'Kutei Maharan. So Yaakov Yitzchak, he went to Rav Shmuel in the corner. He was looking and learning a book. And he said, he told him, I know the people, the shtibel, they're satisfied, they're content with the food of the Kol L'Kutei Maharan. But I'm hungry, I want a subganiya, I want a donut, it's Hanukkah today. So Shmuel, did like this to him, patted his cheek. He said, no problem, come to my house after Marv. I'll give you a subganiya, a donut, I'll give you other things, no problem. So there was Marv. After Marv, it was long, of course, blessed every time long. Rav Shmuel took the hand of Yaakov Yitzchak, this boy, and walked into his house. And they walked into the house, before they even lit the candles, he turned to his wife and he told her, look, I brought a very important guest to our house. Give him a donut, give him something to drink. So the Rebbe Sinfreda, his wife, she looked at Rav Shmuel, and she said, until you finished it, I gave it all to the kids. Nothing left. Oy, oy, oy. Rav Shmuel felt so sorry. An orphan, a kid, an orphan. The most important guest is an orphan. And the most, you can get offended so easily, get hurt so easily that he doesn't have parents. And he came to his house and he'll go out hungry. There was no way to find now a donut in Katamon, talking about 50 years ago. There's no donut to find there. It wasn't Ma'afe Ne'eman or Nechama or any other bakeries. It didn't have that 50 years ago. So for a long time, he said, I'm so sorry. That's it. And not a Katamon. Maybe there. It wasn't open anyways in the evening. I promise you, tomorrow, I will appease you, I promise you. So he went back to shul, the kid went back to shul, and he was crying in front of Rav Nachman Shoystik, also a big, big tzaddik, a guy who didn't speak an extra word out of his mouth for 40 years. He didn't speak for 40 years. He has a son here, you could ask him, he grew up by him. He only spoke to the rabbis of the kids to find out what the kids are doing, and if it was pikuach nefesh. But otherwise, he was silent. Or Tori spoke. Tori and Felix spoke. And there was, he had a dried biscuit in his bag and he gave it to him. The next night, Rav Shmuel saw the kid in the shtibla, and he came over to him. And Rav Shmuel started burst out crying. Believe me, I haven't slept all night. How help me? How could I make you again, bring you to sorrow? How did I make you sad? My son, I brought him home and he fed him and he got a lot of food and he gave him drink and a lot of love, a lot of warmth. And who told us the story? Yaakov Yitzchak, this boy who was not a boy anymore. That night, and he, every time he tells the story, he cries, this boy, from side, from. That night, that Reb Shmuel sort of hurt a Jew unintentionally by not giving him a donut. For years, Reb Shmuel went with this feeling that I hurt a Jew. And every time he saw him, he did everything to appease him. Every time he saw him, when he heard that Moshe Bolstein's atzad, he's going for a vacation somewhere, he convinced him to take this kid with him for vacation. And every time he saw him, he always asked forgiveness from him. And again, sorry, yeah. Yeah. So, we wish we could a little bit live like a
Shmuel.
What?
The word donuts in Meir Shmuel at that time.
He wasn't living in Meir Shmuel.
What?
He wasn't living in Meir Shmuel.
They're not
that far apart. They are very far. At 9 o'clock at night. Until whatever, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening. You were here 50 years ago?
Right around there.
Yeah?